Hey, welcome to the Killer Frogs. This is podcast number 130 for September 17th of 2019. On tonight's podcast, we have got Shannon Brazil. How you doing, Shannon?
I'm doing great, guys. How's it going?
Doing good, man. You looking forward to Saturday?
I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm looking forward to getting here and get it out of the way.
Maybe if we got a little time, we'll give the people a little bit of a preview of what we're talking about in just a little bit.
For sure.
We also have Hunter Nix on the podcast. What's up, Hunter?
What's going on, guys?
You enjoying the weekend?
Oh, yeah, so much. Then back to Monday.
Oh, yeah. It's always about the Monday. And also joining us is Nathan Hernandez. How you doing, Nathan?
Good. I survived Monday. So.
Yeah. I haven't yet, so we'll see how that goes. All right, so on tonight's podcast, we're going to go over a little bit of Frogs in action. Of course, everyone's here to talk about Purdue, that big game for this past weekend, and we'll get to that in just a few minutes. We'll also talk a little bit about the upcoming games around the Big 12, we'll also look towards the Little Pony game against SMU this weekend. So to get us started, let's go ahead and talk about some of the other Frogs in action. Last week, we had two teams in action. TCU Volleyball won a big one, the Ad-Rand Cup, with a 3-2 win over Auburn. And as a quick little side note, Auburn was Coach Kramer's first home match of her career at TCU. And this is an interesting stat, but it was one that Ryan gave me, so I haven't had a chance to confirm this, but she's telling me that according to TCU, volleyball has now sold out every non-conference home game match for the first time in conference history.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Very cool.
That's unbelievable support from the fans, and that program definitely deserves it because they are doing great. So next up for women's volleyball, they're going to hit the road for the first time this season. Of course, they're going to play SMU on Wednesday. So if you've got time, of course, this podcast is going to hit on Tuesday, so you only got a day to be able to do it. And you have time to go out to Dallas to SMU. So the game's going to start at 7 o'clock that night. So if you're in Dallas, and I'm sorry if you are in Dallas, but if you are in Dallas, go by SMU, make it a fun night, watch the women beat up on SMU. Also, TCU women's soccer, fortunately, their six-game winning streak was broken against Washington this week. And they're going to wrap up non-conference play this Saturday when they head to Tucson to take on the Wildcats at 2 o'clock. So both TCU women's soccer and volleyball have been on a tear. So if you have a chance to go out and support the women's teams this year, please do so because they are very fun to watch. I know in the past we've talked a lot about how great the volleyball atmosphere is down there at the Rickle. Definitely go and check that out if you got an opportunity. And, of course, you can follow the Frogs on Twitter at TCU, at TCU Soccer, and at TCU Volleyball. All right, so before we start talking a little bit about Purdue, I want to remind everybody of our sponsor this month. And the sponsor this month for Killer Frogs is brought to you by MyBookie.com. So remember to enjoy the convenience of at-home or on-the-go betting anywhere, anytime with the MyBookie mobile platform. Go ahead and try it out today and never miss another winning bet. See, Hunter, I didn't need a fancy transition. I just went right to the script.
No, you got it. And if you would have bet on the Frogs this weekend, it would have been a good one, huh?
It would have been a good one, I tell you. And let's talk about that game. So TCU goes into Purdue, and let's be honest, both teams were kind of dinged up a bit walking into this game. Frogs were down several key starters. Of course, the key starter that was missing for Purdue was their quarterback. Both teams played a freshman quarterback, redshirt freshman for Purdue, true freshman for TCU. And TCU comes away with a win that, I don't know, what's the best way to describe it? I think butt-kicking might be a decent adjective, but in any way, I would say this was a decisive victory for the Frogs. Hunter, what do you think?
Totally agree. I mean, even when we weren't just clicking on offense, you knew pretty early couple drives that we were just better. I mean, they couldn't physically, they were not even close to us along the lines, and then our running backs just punished them all night. They just physicality, they couldn't handle us.
Yeah. Shannon, what did you see?
Oh, I saw a different team than I saw the first week. Somebody made the point starting the season off about, you know, who we were playing, and I made a statement: you've been out of football for several months, you got to be up for the first game. Well, I think that held true. I think we were looking past the first week to the second week because we really played a hell of a game, both sides of the ball, special teams, and we definitely saw a different team than what we saw last week for sure. Now, I'm excited. I'm really – because I want to see that type of game. And let me tell you something. When you go to Purdue, a team like that, and you handle them, I don't care. You know, we're banged up a little bit, but, they didn't have their quarterback. But let me tell you something. Had that quarterback or not, that butt-whooping was coming.
That's true. I think the defense really spoke volumes. But Nathan, let me go to you here, because you had a similar schedule, I think, when back in 2014, when we had 1 week, we played week one, then we had a bye, and then we come back at week three for our second game. And that was, I think, against Minnesota here versus Purdue on the road. How much of a challenge is that to kind of get up for a game after having a bye week after week one, where you really don't quite know exactly how you guys are going to stand and you're going into a big challenge on the road at a Big Ten school that had 60,000 plus fans in the stands?
I think it's a little different. Bye weeks are terrible. Nobody likes bye weeks. The practices, we always joke that Coach P can have his way in bye weeks. He can have however many padded practices he wants. He's going to get what he wants out of us. And so going into the game week, you're a little more relieved. You finally have someone to actually play rather than just having to beat up on each other the whole all week. You can finally take it out on somebody else. So I think it's a little easier, which is surprising with the first game, going back to Arkansas Pine Bluff, was because they had all of camp to beat up on each other. But I guess they got it right this time. They came out. Coach P loves bye weeks.
Is that what you saw, though, on Saturday, Nathan? Did you see a team that was just coming out, just itching to play and just beat up on somebody?
A little bit, you know, like I could still see some struggles, primarily on the offense side of the ball. But I think the defense came out pretty fired up. We controlled the game, basically, is how I would put it.
Let's talk about that defense. So, Shannon, this was something we talked about after week one, that you needed to see better play out of the line. You needed to see a slightly better play out of the linebackers. In fact, I think Patterson called out a couple of the linebackers after week one, saying, you know, they need to learn their position. They need to be better as tacklers. And that was kind of put some fans a little bit on their heels to hear Coach say that about the linebacker team. But what did you see out of this defense? Did you see some corrections being made from week one, or do you still kind of see where this defense still has room for improvement?
Well, we definitely, you know, being going into week three, as we say, being, you know, a frog, we always have room for growth. That game looked good and all that, but guys, we both, as players, ex-players, we know we have a lot of room to improve. With that being said, those guys played a solid football game against a physical football team in an atmosphere that if you go in and play like you did last week, we may not come out of there with such a convincing win. And so I was ecstatic about the flying around. I saw the speed again. I saw us getting after. I saw us having fun, as we put it. Have fun. Go out there and make plays and have fun. And the energy that was coming from the defensive side of the ball was awesome. I was ecstatic. It was just one of those games when you're in the zone, no matter what our offense is going to do, whatever we had to do to win that game from a defensive standpoint, it was going to happen. So I was ecstatic, especially the linebacker play. My goodness, we're flying around making some
Wallow.
30 in my head for, like, I have that number in my head, but he's a beast, and he will be.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you now, I'm going to call right now, once again, he's going to be a great NFL player. And I can see that because he's just built to play the game. I saw him at the media conference. He's tall, he's physical, he has long arms. He just built to play that position. And so kudos to him, and he had a hell of a game.
So I think that was a big thing.
Go ahead, Nathan.
Sorry. I was going to say, I think that's a big thing between this week and the first week was we weren't thinking so much. We just came out and played. Our linebackers, they trusted themselves to make plays, and so they did. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the corners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that was a big key of this game because the defense did look like it clicked all of a sudden, right? And we've seen that in TCU defenses in the past, especially going back to 2014 is probably the last time we've had a unit that clicked like we saw on Saturday against Purdue early on in the game, because it looked like, Hunter, I mean, you know, coming out of the first quarter, the Frog offense is not exactly, you know, burning down, you know, anything, because it's 10-3 at the end of the first quarter, but it didn't feel like the game was out of control or close because the TCU defense was just so stifling.
Yeah, I mean, the physicality on the defense, the they were moving around to the ball fast, getting there, making big hits. There was no mercy on that defense. It was a Gary Patterson patent defense where it, we all thought about it last week. We said, if they can't run the ball and they get one dimensional, he is going to shut them down so quick. And he did. This is what Gary Patterson does. You better have a good offense, because if you don't, he's gonna shut down one guy in no time. Rondale Moore was non-existent.
Yeah,
he had one great catch along the sideline, and it was a great catch. Not many dudes can do it, but guess what? That was the only one he got.
Man, yeah,
you know, like that. We're just better. We're stacked on this defensive team right now. And the thing that's scary is, I mean, D Winters, that's his first start. The last week was LeKendrick Van Zandt. Once we get Ben Wilson, who is the other starter, like, we're three guys down right now, and those guys are playing well. I mean, those guys played safety 3 weeks or 4 weeks ago now, and they're, you know, they're playing really well for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a huge plus, because that's been a big issue for TCU over the years, is that, and it was something Patterson talked about when we came into the Big 12, right? We were going to need time to be able to build the program, to have the depth, to be able to compete in the Big 12 the way the fans were expecting us to be able to compete. And he set those expectations back in 2012. And here we are, we're now 7 years into this thing, and we finally feel like we've got a team that, if we can stave off any sort of major injuries, we finally have the team with the depth that this defense is going to be something to reckon with. So, you know, Nathan, let's go to you for real quick, and let's move to the other side of the ball and let's talk about offense. This was a team, and, you know, Hunter mentioned it, you know, if you make it one-dimensional, and that was certainly the case in Purdue was very one-dimensional. TCU, on the other hand, though, comes into this game with as many offensive weapons as, at least from a passing game perspective, that I think we've seen in many, many years, with a quarterback in Duggan that I think a lot of Frog fans are excited to see with that arm. But the storyline wasn't the passing, it was the run game.
Yeah. We've always had a good running game. We've always had really good running backs coming through TCU. Going all the way back to LT and before then as well. But we've always had good running backs. It's whether or not we trust ourselves to run the ball. So, and you saw it last year, like Texas Tech, 3rd and 2, whatever, 3rd and 3 at the end of the game. We got to trust ourselves to run the ball. And I think that's going to be what determines whether we're good this year or not, is if we can allow ourselves to trust ourselves to run that ball on short yardage plays. But in order to do that, we have to have a passing game. And so that's where it's good that Duggan's coming in, making good throws. There's a few where I know he wants to have him back. I think that's just him being young and getting a little antsy. And then we have Rager. Rager's a great player. He can't be our only receiver making plays. He can do it physically. He has the ability to, but he can't, because if he does, it's going to get shut down real quick. Yep. And so our receivers got to step up. Yeah, we had way too many drops. Our receivers got to step up, make some catches. On the flip side, some of that can be on the quarterback trying to beam it in there too hard. You know, sometimes you got to put some touch on it. But at some point, we have to start catching the ball. That way it takes pressure off of our running backs, and they can do what we brought them in there to do. Because we have two NFL-caliber running backs, in my opinion.
We do. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, first time since, we had two 100-yard rushers since 2015, I believe it was. And that was back when, and Boykin was one of those two at that game. So, you know, I don't.
That game.
Yeah, so I have no idea how far back it was since we've had two running backs, both with 100 yards. It's got to be
probably Texas Tech.
Wait, Basil Mitchell, LaDainian Tomlinson. I have no. Yeah, oh yeah, probably the Texas Tech game. Ran out of fireworks and everybody got 100 yards. It was, you know, you get 100 yards and you get 100 yards and you get 100 yards. That was pretty.
I got 100 yards on the sideline.
That's right. That was a fun game. So it was interesting to see that run game, especially since the offense against Pine Bluff just didn't quite seem to get those kind of big holes that were opened up. And I don't know, did you guys listen to any of the broadcast that was happening on the Big Ten Network?
They were just saying that we were winning up front. We were winning up front. Our line was pushing their line around.
Yeah, that was pretty much the script immediately changed somewhere around late in the second quarter. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to the Big Ten announcers, it's worth going back and watching the broadcast, the rebroadcast a second time, just to listen to how everything was about Purdue. Of course, it's a Big Ten network. That's what you expect. Yeah. And then immediately about halfway through the game, it's starting to becoming about how amazing the TCU defense is, how stacked they are, how TCU's always been in the mix for the playoffs, and then how just amazing this offensive line is. And the entire second half was pretty much, this offensive line is legit. They've got, you know, NFL talent and caliber on this thing. It became this huge thing about the offensive line. Now, I don't know how good Purdue is on the defensive side of the ball, but if these guys get the same kind of push that we saw on Saturday moving into conference play, I think Anderson and Shewell are going to have a big year, and I agree with Nathan. We get that run game going, that opens up a lot of things passing-wise, and that helps out a young quarterback like Duggan. So
it's the perfect time to have a freshman quarterback with two senior running backs who are studs, yeah, so you can hand off to anytime.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that plays well in this particular league. If we can slow the game down, get the run game going, give our defense a little bit of a rest, there's no telling what this team's going to be able to do.
Well, the thing about it, it's not just a run game. It's what type of run game. We have a slasher and we have a pounder. Mm-hmm. We have them both. So from a defensive coordinator, you now have to respect our speed on the outside, and then you have to also respect both our running backs, because mm-hmm. we can give you the ground and pound, or we can give you the slasher with Anderson. As you guys saw the other day, you know, short yardage, we're pounding them. Yep. You know, hit him right in the mouth, and he's getting stopped for -1, turn into -4. I mean, it's just, we have that. Then you have the slashing between the center and the guard, and we're hitting them for 15, 20 a pop. So, and then once you try to bring everybody in the box, now we have some receiver threat with the quarterback. I love the quarterback play. And by the way, I think we figured out who our quarterback's going to be.
That's why we didn't even talk about it, I don't think. It's not even if not everyone knows after last week, then I don't know what we're doing.
We saw that loud and clear Saturday. So with that being said, I think that takes the pressure off of him and allow him to be comfortable, because as a freshman, the guy's comfortable. He sits in that pocket. And, I mean, his only I think you mentioned a while ago, Hunter, is, you know, he gets a little antsy because he's excited. But if he can just bring that down just a little bit and just play the game, and we saw him play Saturday, man, this offense is going to get real excited really fast.
Yeah, it definitely will. But I agree with Nathan. One of the biggest problems we saw on Saturday on the offensive side, actually on any squad on that team, were the drops in the wide receiver. Because there was 6 drops in the wide receivers by the wide receivers. Some of those look like catchable balls. And I don't know, Nathan, Hunter, what did you guys see? Did you see, and Nathan mentioned, I mean, maybe it's just he's slinging it in there a little bit too hard. And you mentioned earlier, Nathan, he may want to have a couple of those back. But at the end of the day, though, those balls should be caught by those wide receivers, shouldn't they?
Sure.
Yeah, there's a few of them. There's one kind of towards the beginning. I think Delton had Rager on the sideline. Rager puts 2 hands out, he should have it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think it's just, again, just focusing. I mean, there's so many times, like, it's hard when you go from quarterback to quarterback because they each have their own way of throwing. Yep. And so one of them's slinging it, one of them's putting touch on it, and it ends up being you end up dropping the one that puts touch on it because you're expecting the ball to get there a lot quicker. And so I think that's where, once we figure out a quarterback, it'll help out a lot because it'll provide some consistency for the receivers and getting used to that. But I remember – It's a lot of it has to just do with chemistry. There was the before 2014 year with Trayvon, receivers were out there throwing balls every single day during the summer. And so it takes time to build that up. It's not going to just come naturally. So I think they just got to get out there and work on it.
Yeah, for 8 receptions, 75 yards on the night, that's not great. I mean, you would expect that maybe out of our #2 wide receiver of the entire game, but – when you only have 8 total receptions for 75 yards, there are some issues there. But, you know, 346 yards of rushing on the other side of the ball, you can't be disappointed with over 400 yards of total offense.
Sure.
But one thing I do want to point out we didn't talk about on the rushing game that I do want to give props to the wide receivers, and something that Patterson called them out on back in week 1, was their blocking. Vastly improved this week. Hunter, what'd you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just in general, we seemed like a different team. Shannon touched on that earlier. This is the game we wanted to see from the beginning. We were amped up. We showed who we were up front. Those dudes, I mean, they look good. The O-line, there was plenty of time on the passes as well. So, yeah, I mean, we got things to work out. We've got a young quarterback. You know, that's pretty tough to have a true freshman in there at quarterback to figure everything out. But he's good. He's learning, and we'll keep getting better.
I think we will. And one area that I'm glad that we did get better on this season is special teams. I mean, I last couple of years, punting has been a big question mark. Field goal has been a big question mark. And so far through the first two games of 2019, the fact that we're even talking about special teams, it's really just to kind of give them a big high five because they've been awesome on both sides. Kick coverage, punting, you know, kickoffs, field goal, everything has been solid on that side of the ball. And I think that's going to play a real big role as we roll into conference play.
Sure. Well, you can't, it's part of the game, guys, as we know it. I mean, especially in games. And as I said, man, you can win it or lose it with special teams. And those are plays we can't afford to take off. And we look solid right now. And that's all you could ask for so early in the season. So that's going to be, I think that'll be a big positive for us down the line.
Yeah, and it definitely looks like Song is going to be the guy for the rest of the season. And as much as I like Kel when he came in, and he looked solid too when he was kicking, it's good to have a good solid backup in that position, especially with Song's history. But, you know, Song went 2 for 2, his longest was 40 yards. It's good to see that sort of accuracy. He probably could have gone at least another 10 yards on that kick, easy.
Sure,
and,
yeah.
And, I mean, to do that in that sort of an environment, we got 60,000 fans yelling at you. He looks ice cold out there, and that's just awesome. It's good to see that. Definitely shades of Jaden Overchrome out there. So that's always high praise if you can compare it to him, right? So that's great. So in the end, though, what do we take away from this game? Is this a game we look back on and we go, man, that bye week was amazing? But that, you know, that the old adage of the most you grow in a football season is going to be between week 1 and week 2. That certainly seemed to be the case. Or is this just a matter of, you know what, this is a team that is something special and they're growing together and this is something to look forward to? Or is this just a big question mark? We have no idea, and SMU may be the toughest part of the schedule at this point.
I think it's sure that we can go and win on the road.
Yeah.
Go out to a, you know, pretty far stadium. I wasn't there. I don't know how loud it was, but it's still a road game in the end. And you went out there and you handled a team that you're supposed to handle.
Yep.
So I think they showed flashes of what we can do.
Yeah, I agree. It was a big road game. You got to win those games because, guys, that's the type of game that if we lose that game, we could be, you know, talking about our season, you know, on the line kind of week. That's just what kind of week it was. After a bye week, it's never good to come out and perform poorly. Being that we went on the road, we had a great atmosphere out there. It was exciting on TV to watch. I heard it was even more exciting to be there. I heard our fans showed up, which is awesome. And to play like we played, that is such a confidence booster coming home to play SMU. And so I can't wait to see what we do against SMU, meaning from a standpoint of taking care of business against a team that's undefeated that will come in and give us a couple good shots, and they're not going to lay down for us. SMU's known to be that type of game. If we don't handle our business, they will sneak up on us and make that a game that we don't want to happen at home on our home field. So I think if we'll just take care of business, that's going to be a good booster for us coming home and then getting ready for district conference play. I'm sorry.
Yep.
Hunter, what did you think? What were your takeaways from this game?
I agree. I mean, showed we could go on the road and win. You know, just showed that, yeah, we may not even – this is – at least, no matter what, our running game we know is great. We know it can be great. We know our defense can be great. So now we've seen how good those two parts of our game can be. We still got to work out on the passing, but we went in and showed we can take someone down in their home field.
Yeah, and in the end, this I don't think that you could score this one like a lucky win or one where the Frogs kind of got Purdue on a downhill trajectory or anything like that. I mean, I know a lot of Purdue fans are upset they didn't get their starting quarterback to start this game, but, you know, in the end, it probably would not have mattered. You're absolutely right. Given the way that defense was playing, I think this is, and we said this at the very beginning of the season, and we think this defense has something special. And if that line can continue to perform like they did against Purdue in that backfield, oh my gosh, if those defensive backs can continue shutting down receivers like they did more, I don't feel nearly as bad going up and playing, you know, Oklahoma State and Oklahoma and Texas, because we don't just have one shutdown guy. We've got two and possibly three in that backfield that can really make a difference. So sure. I think it's great. Like you said, it's not lucky. Frogs come out. They handled their business. They showed a Big Ten team exactly how to run the ball and how to pound things, and it was fun to watch, and I think that was the end of it. So
we out-physical
Yeah, we did. And I think a lot of the media was kind of surprised by that. It was, you know, that was kind of like the tack they kind of took on Sunday was, you know, TCU looked more like a Big Ten team than Purdue looked like a Big Ten team. So, and when you right. shut down a running, they had like negative 1 yards, I think, running into the fourth quarter and on the ground or something like that. They ended up with 23 total yards, but that was only in garbage time. So
sounds like the Kansas game.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. But the Frogs handled their business, come away from Purdue with a win. We're all excited for the upcoming game against SMU, which we'll get into in just a minute. And while the Frogs definitely were not lucky, they were good. If you want to live lucky, make sure you go ahead and check out Black Clover USA. And Dubber just joined us. How you doing, Dubber? Well, I'm sure he's got his microphone on at some point in time. Maybe not.
Nope.
He's muted.
He turned it off. Can you hear us?
No, there he is. Yep, can you hear us, Dubber? I'll just finish this spot, and then we'll figure out what's up with Dubber's. And well, like I was saying, if you want to live lucky, make sure you go check out Black Clover USA. All this season, Black Clover USA is outfitting Killer Frogs with some of their best TCU gear. And remember, if you want to live lucky, go to blackcloverusa.com. They've got some quality merchandise for the TCU fans. Dubber, have you figured out your microphone yet? I don't think he can hear us.
Nope.
Not a microphone. It's a speaker issue. Well, let's move on while Dubber figures that out. And let's talk a little bit about the games this last week. Just two main points real quick right off the bat. Kansas, after Coastal Carolina, how did they do that last week? Everyone's shaking their heads. It's just nobody knows.
Dad doesn't know. Yeah. Dad still doesn't know why he can't hear us.
Yeah.
Was Kansas at home or away?
No, Kansas was on the road. 48-24 win over Boston College. The road.
Yeah. In Boston College, I mean, that's – you still have to play there, you know? And so that we're talking two different teams. I don't know. That's what you call turning.
It's up. I turned it up. I've got it up. I know. I got it up.
There you go. What's up, brother?
Well, we'd like to welcome to the podcast WC Next.
I'll be back.
Hey, Dubber. Where are you going?
He can't hear us right now. We can just hear him. just keep going.
But what a game. What a change. We'll see.
All right. Yeah. So Boston College. Boston College is certainly a quality win for Kansas. I think this is a game a lot of us, when we're looking at, you know, the beginning of the season, we definitely did not have this circled as a possible game for Kansas to win, and for them to come away with a 48-24 point win, that was huge. And
I think all over again.
He's left.
And WC has left the building. All right. Anyway, my point is I think Kansas is going to be one of those kind of teams that are going to be up and down all season long. What did you all think?
Still can't hear you.
Yeah.
Dude. Well, why can't I hear y'all?
We can hear you just fine.
We can hear you.
But you can't tell.
Why can't I hear you?
His face, that is priceless.
Why can't I hear you?
Well,
and now he's singing.
Yeah. Oh, y'all can hear me?
Yes.
Oops. Okay, why can't I hear y'all?
We don't know.
Oh my gosh.
Oh. Well, while WC is trying to figure out his IT problems.
Oh man.
Oh, let's talk. The other game that I wanted to kind of highlight was the Iowa State game that had very long lightning delay. Ended up ending in a 1-point decision. Gary Patterson special, 18-17 though, going to Iowa. And this was kind of a gut punch to Iowa State that looked like, I mean, they had held them to so many field goals. It looked like they were going to come out of this thing with a win, and they end up losing it at the very end. Did you guys get the chance to see any of this game?
I saw bits and pieces.
I saw a little bit of.
Yeah. I did just see especially the last play, the fumble on the punt return, though. Iowa State ran into their own guy, and the ball hit off them. That's how they lost it. So
It's unfortunate. Not great. That was very unfortunate for Iowa State. I thought they had that one. I thought that was a game they should have won, and they probably would have won, but those mistakes, and that happens.
I think it was a stat on teams that have led or that have averaged over 7.7 yards per play on offense and allowed less than 4 yards per play on defense are like 400 and something and two. Oh. And one of those losses was Iowa State the other day.
That is not a stat you want to be in.
No.
Oh, man. I feel bad for him. But you know what? I still think this team is probably one of the most dangerous teams that we have in the Big 12. I really do. And I don't think this loss necessarily defines them, but I think it is one of those kind of gut-wrenching losses that could derail a really good team. And, I mean, for the Frogs' sake, you kind of want to get Iowa State when they're down like that. But at the same time, you know, for the conference, I think this is like I said, it's a bit of a gut punch because I think this is a game they should have won.
Well, you know, their background, you know, and I agree with you, but on the other side of that coin, this is also one of those losses that can turn their whole season around. That team, they get fired up and come back, and they'll go on like a 7-game, 8-game winning streak type of deal. So those guys, I mean, you know, being a team, they're coached up, and I think I'm with you.
All right, Jennifer, I can hear him plug your slam. What? I can hear him plug your slam. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
We still hear him,
I turned it off.
Anyway.
No, you didn't.
You didn't mute it. It's still on.
We hear you.
Shannon, sorry for the interruption.
Yes,
please continue.
We can still hear you. Yes. If it doesn't have a red microphone, you can't
he
hear
can't
me.
Hear so you.
This is awesome. It's going to definitely get me ready for my speech on Thursday.
There,
for sure. But
leave it alone. He finally muted it.
They're a scary team. And, you know, we'll see after this week how they bounce back. But they are a decent team that can come off and start, you know, win the next 5 weeks in a row type of deal. I mean, they're just capable of doing it. So they're still a team to be watch for. They're scary.
Right. I think they are. They're a really scary team. And Matt Campbell's a fantastic coach. He'll have them ready. But it is one of those kind of games where you kind of wonder how they're going to come out of this. So definitely something to kind of keep an eye on. And they do get a little bit of a breathing room. It's always kind of hard to say. But they're playing against UL Monroe this week. Right. So at home. Again, at home. So if there's a kind of a bounce back game, this is definitely the kind of one that you want to have on the schedule. So we'll see how it goes with Iowa State. The rest of them pretty much happened exactly what we thought was going to happen. It really wasn't much of a surprise for the rest of the Big 12. But let's talk about the one big game that we will talk about this week in Big 12 action, not including your favorite Frogs, is going to be the late game on ABC. Oklahoma State rolls into Austin against the number 12 Texas Longhorns. Hunter, what do you think about this game?
I think it's going to be a lot closer than everyone thinks. Line, I think, opened up at 5 or so, and I don't even know if it's going to be a touchdown. Oklahoma State's offense is looking real, real good.
Legit.
Yeah, they're real legit. Now, they get scored on, but they're going to score a bunch too. So in that type of game, we've already seen Texas get outscored once, so it could easily happen again.
Yeah, Shannon, what do you think? Do you think this is going to be shades of LSU down in Austin?
Shootout, pure shootout.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma State's defense is just not that good. I mean, they're just not as good as their offense. It's too, you know, their offense, they're going to put up some points, and they're going to put up some points right now. And so Austin and Texas, they're better on defense, but I'm telling you, it's going to be the type of game we saw against LSU type game. It's going to be a good one. But I expect a high-scoring game, and it's going to come down to whoever can make some plays on defense will probably determine the win. So I look forward to seeing it. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah. Nathan, how about you? What do you feel about Texas OSU?
See, I feel like we talked about this earlier in the year, how OSU was kind of that, like, we expect them to be good and they're not, and then we expect them to not be good and then they are. That's where I'm just kind of like, I still don't know if they're going to be, like, good for the year. But I do think that it will, like you just said, I think it'll come down to defense. Because, I mean, Texas played pretty good defense against LSU until they started making passing plays. So, yeah, I think it'll come down to defense, but I think Texas will come out with the win on that one.
Yeah, it should be interesting. Okay. So, let's real quick. Who thinks Texas is going to win this game? Nathan, you think Texas is going to win? Hunter?
I think Texas is going to win.
Texas. Shannon, do you think LSU is going to be enough, or Texas is going to take it?
Texas just based off their defense. I think they'll make a couple more plays on defense than
I think Texas's defense is fantastic, but I'm going to go OSU on this one.
Gambling, I love it.
I think, well, you know what? I went to mybookie.com and I saw the line, and no, I'm not going to do that. Anyway, so here's my reasoning why. I think OSU, I think Ellinger is just, he's too much of a wildcat. You know, I think he's just going to go out there and he's going to play reckless because he sees what OSU's defense is capable, or in his mind, incapable of doing, and he's going to get himself hurt. I think he's going to try too hard, and I think OSU is going to surprise some people. And I think OSU's offense is, like I said, legit. And I think they're going to end up scoring a little bit more. But it will be a close game, absolutely a close game. So, who knows? I've been wrong several times when I've done these kind of predictions, but we'll see how it happens. All right. It's all good. All right, so the one prediction I think we all hope we're not wrong on is the game coming up on Saturday for the Frogs against SMU, hosting the Little Ponies in Fort Worth. And let's talk a little bit about this game, because I think moving into Purdue, especially after that first quarter and the lack of offensive production, I think a lot of Frog fans, especially on the forum, if you haven't gone to killerfrogs.com, go and check out the forum there. But I think a lot of the people in the game day thread were getting ready to kind of jump off a ledge a little bit and predicting that SMU was going to be the toughest part of this season, at least the non-conference schedule. Nathan, what do you see out of SMU this year? It looks like they've got an offense, and how much of a challenge is this going to be for the Frogs on Saturday?
You know, SMU always pulls every trick out of their hat for us. I think they'll do the same thing again this time. They've got pretty good running back and TJ McDaniel. I know people that might not know that name, but he actually is he's the brother of two guys that I play football with. And that family is just, they're all freaks.
They're all stuff.
Ridiculous. And so I think that their offense is going to be able to move the ball against ours. Our defense, I just don't think our defense is going to break. I think it'll be that kind of mentality of bend, don't break, hopefully. But I think it'll be a close game. Closer than we would hope. I don't think it'll be like a nail biter down to the end, but I think SMU will hang around in the game more than we want them to.
Hunter, you agree?
I agree. If we don't get started on quick on offense, then I do think so, because they can score. I do think our defense is better. I think we have better athletes, so I don't think we're going to lose the game. But, you know, if we don't come out there and jump on some points, it's a rival game. Anything can happen, you know?
Absolutely.
You know, Shannon, we used to hear that all the time back in the, you know, 90s and the 2000s about the teams we faced had better athletes than us, right?
All time.
Yeah, so and this is the kind of game that we saw. You know, we saw that against right after that big Oklahoma win, we come back to SMU and lay a goose egg. And that was not fun to watch. A team that has, Nathan said, they pull out all the tricks. What are you expecting to see out of SMU on Saturday?
Listen, we don't consider this a rivalry game, even though we have a skillet. But I guarantee you, I know some of the coaches in that other locker room, some who played here at TCU. One of the coaches grew up with me in my hometown, and I saw him. His brother actually coaches Pee Wee football with me, so I got to hear that every weekend. They're coming to play, and they're coming, and they're treating it like a rivalry game, and they want to beat us. It's been a while. They want to bring it home. So if we don't jump on top of these guys right now, because they do have some firepower. I'm looking at some of the stats here, and they've got some guys on offense that they're putting up some pretty big numbers right now. I don't know exactly who they've played, but the numbers are interesting, to say the least. If we'll just jump on them and treat them like we're supposed to treat SMU, we'll win the game handedly. But if we go over there, and this is what gets me about TCU sometimes, we don't play our best at home anymore. I remember back in the day when you stepped in our stadium, you got your butt drove, you know. And so last couple of years hadn't been like that. And so we actually play really good on the road, but we need to treat these guys like who they are in our opinion, and we need to handle them right now. Because if we don't, it's not going to be a pretty win. We win the game, it just won't be pretty. And I'm tired of not having pretty wins against teams like SMU.
Yep. Yeah. Agreed. Well, just to give everyone a little bit of context, the three wins, and SMU does come into Fort Worth 3-0 on the season, but the three wins came against Arkansas State. They won 37-30 to open up the season. UNT 49-27. Texas State 47-17. So they are putting up a lot of points, and I agree with you. I mean, that skillet's been in our possession so long, it's almost time to reseason it. But you know, you don't want to kind of sit back and kind of get comfortable with the fact that we've had it for so long and that this rivalry has really kind of fizzled out over the years.
Sure.
But SMU doesn't view it that way. SMU still views it as a pure rivalry, and they're going to do everything they possibly can to take it to the Frogs, especially in our own home.
For sure.
And they've got to get up on this, because this big win at Purdue, I don't know. It feels, again, it's like that. It's not as big as that Oklahoma win was and then come back and losing to SMU. But, you know, players coming back on a big road game. You played against 60,000 fans. This is going to be a 2:30 start. And right now, the weather's looking pretty warm. There are not going to be 60,000 Frog fans in the stands, unfortunately. And I don't know. Nathan mentioned this before. You know, the fan participation in the stands make a big difference when you come out and you're playing in that sort of heat. This kind of feels like the typical recipe for a trap game.
Well, listen, if they need to be fired up, you know, if I do decide to go to that lunch tomorrow, I'll let Coach Patterson know that you need to come talk to him and let him know what SMU did back in the day and planted those freaking seeds. That story will always go for, and that's why they've been getting their butts kicked so many years. But I'm telling you, they get, based off the prank or whatever they did, it was awesome. I have to give them credit for it, where the band planted those dogs. I think you're out there. I think you're on the part of the band at the time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Those guys planted SMU. The band dropped those seeds in the middle of our field, and SMU started growing right there in the middle of our football field. So if they need to be fired up about something, you need to go fire them up.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't remember that prank that Shannon was referring to, I guess this can be our Memories of Purple Past segment.
But there you go.
Yeah, so back in the 90s where Shannon and I were at TCU, the SMU band, and an SMU band is fairly small, smaller than TCU band, so they only do a couple different formations on the field. One of theirs is to actually spell out SMU on the field. Of course, that's what we always do, but it's a fairly thin kind of line. You don't get, like, it's not like Texas and OSU and all those kind of things where the band is actually spelling out the whole thing. But what they ended up doing was the band ended up putting rye seed in their pockets. And while they're standing on the field, of course, grass field at Amon Carter, they release all of these seeds into the field. Nobody knew about it until later that year when those seeds started to sprout and this giant weed of SMU is in the middle of our field. Got to hand it to them.
Brilliant.
Freaking prank I had ever seen up to that point when it comes to band. I mean, hey, band nerds can get kind of creative every so often, if I do say so myself. But that was good. That was a good one. It was a good one. But that's the kind of rivalry that we kind of thrived on back then. And I feel bad that we don't still have that.
Right, and it was fun. Again, our 1-10 season, guys. We go 1-10, my friend. I mean, 1-10. I don't know if that's ever been done. I don't know. It's been a long time, and I'm part of that team, which is part of the foundation of where we are today. But we knocked them out of a bowl game, and guys, we tear down the goalposts. We celebrated. It was over. You would have thought we won the national championship game, because at that point we were a rivalry. It was a rival between SMU and TCU. They've been winning. They were one game away to going to a bowl game, and we beat them and knock them out.
And first bowl game since the death penalty.
Yeah. And so that's when it was fun. Now not so much, but it. I guarantee
you. That's them for us now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely, because they have a chance to knock off TCU. It is, you know, we joke about it. It's their Super Bowl. It really is. I mean, when was the last time SMU football has been relevant? I mean, sure. Their basketball program got back to relevancy before their football program has. I mean, they really hadn't. In fact, if I remember right, yeah. Shannon, not only was that time when we walked into that game not winning a single game up until that point, SMU was pretty cocky. They walked in. They thought, we've got this. We're playing yeah. against a team that hasn't won all year long. We're going to go to our first bowl game. We end up beating them. They didn't get back to a bowl game for Bad. Years after that. That was yeah. that was like their one shot, and it was sure. totally deflated them from that point on. Sure.
I still hear about that story from some of the guys that I'm friends with from that squad to this day, and it's one of those situations as a football player, those games that kind of break your heart forever. We have those two. Mine is playing freaking our senior year down at what is that California team? I don't like even saying their name, but that crappy team. We're getting ready to be probably I think 3 in the nation, and they beat us. And so that will haunt me for the rest of my life. But those guys, there's a few of those guys. They never got a chance. They would have made history as they knew it, and we knocked them out. So it still bothers them to this day. So yeah. it's serious business, man. Something you can't change it.
No, and that's what this rivalry was built on. And we haven't had that same kind of competitive kind of feel in the last. I guess 2 decades up to this point. Yeah. I mean, really, once we were on the ascent, they were kind of, they thought they were, and they plateaued and kind of dipped even further down into the basement before yeah. they're back to where they are today. And everybody wants this game to be relevant. Everybody wants this game to be competitive. Well, I say everybody. There are a lot of fans out there that are screaming for this game to be axed from the schedule from here on out. But, you know, SMU, it's a great game. You don't have to travel very far when we have to go out to Dallas to play. And it's one of the oldest rivalries in college football, second only in TCU's history to our rivalry against Baylor. And we all know how much we love the Baylor-TCU games these years. But, you know, it'd be nice if we can get SMU back into that particular category. But I fear while SMU is still languishing in the G5, I don't see that happening for TCU fans anytime soon. But hopefully TCU comes away. Hopefully I'm totally wrong. This is not a recipe for a trap game. I hope Shannon's right. Coach P's got these guys dialed up, knows exactly what it is. In fact, Nathan, let me go to you real quick, because you've been in that locker room when SMU's rolled into town. How does Patterson get the team up playing SMU when you're playing a Power 5 conference usually the week before and a Power 5 conference the week after?
I mean, he's just honest about it. He just tells you, like, look, guys, if you lose this game, you're never going to forget about it. They're never going to let you hear the end of it. And, I mean, it's usually been enough for us to pull out a win. Some of them are closer than others, but then usually first half doesn't go well. He comes in, he's like, I told you, they're going to come out and they're going to pull everything out, because they really do. First play is usually a trick play. And so then that's kind of like our wake up, like, all right, these guys are actually going to be annoying today.
I remember really having a hard time.
Yeah, oh, Dad. The only thing about this game for me is it's going to determine whether, because there's one year, I don't remember what year it was, we played fine on the road. We did well on the road because we didn't have the distractions of being at home. And so for me this year, this game for me is whether we're going to be distracted at home or not.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Shannon kind of nailed it. We haven't really been playing well at home. I'd like to see, we saw a real good game against Purdue. I'd like to see that trend continue and Frogs just take care of business against SMU at home. I think those two games back-to-back would set a tone for the rest of the season. But let's get into this a little bit. What do you think we are going to see out of this game from TCU? Hunter, first off, you already said we know who our number one quarterback is. Do we see Delton on the field against SMU?
We're going to see him play. I think Coach Patterson talked about it some today in the conference call with the media and said, you know, he's done more for this team than just throw passes, and he means Delton's a captain, this and that. And, you know, he shows a lot of leadership. He's a leader on the field, so he wants him out there for something. I could see him in some type of wildcat role. But I think at this point, we saw this is Dugan's team. You know, he was clearly the better player. And after 2 weeks, we don't even have to guess that. We know. I just think it's going to be a lot more improving, but I don't think they can hang with us physically. CJK 5H, baby.
Blast from the past.
If we can't get up for that, then I don't know what we can, right?
Right.
I'm sure Wes would love for us to mention the five lovely young ladies who lost their life tragically
Yeah.
Allegedly at the hands of a former SMU player. So, Shannon, defense, they continue to roll against SMU?
Yeah, with all that being said, we roll against SMU. I think we come out, we put a complete game together. Special team is going to be humming. Defense is going to be humming. I think we continue with the run game. I think we see I don't think they're physical enough to hang with us up front. I don't think they're a team that's doing good per se for SMU standards, but we have a lot of depth. We have a lot of speed. We're strong. We're fast. I don't think they'll be able to match up. This game is one of those games. If TCU stops TCU, then we'll have issues. If we play our game like we play Saturday, SMU will not have a chance.
I agree. Nathan, you said the first play from scrimmage last year, I think, was a trick play. I think the last couple years have been a trick play.
Yeah, they've all been trick plays, from what I remember.
So what are you expecting to see out of SMU? Same old, same old? Or do you think they're going to try to mix it up a little bit?
Nah, I think they'll come out. They'll try to probably have a fast tempo, throw some trick plays every now and then. I think just the excitement of the game will keep them in it for a little bit, but I think over time our physicality, our talent will just carry us out. I think we'll run away with it either second quarter or third quarter.
Yeah, I think that's a good bet. I think that by the time we come out at halftime, I think the two teams are going to start to – you'll see
that 2:30 heat.
Yeah. That'd be nice. You'll see that kind of gulf begin to widen a bit between the two teams after halftime. So it'll be an interesting game. I think it'll be a good one. Let's quickly go around the horn to wrap it up tonight, and let's talk about score predictions. So, Shannon, we'll start with you. Score prediction, TCU-SMU, the battle for the iron skillet.
First of all, I want to say Jack nailed it last week. He hit it on the head with a 34-13 score, I believe it was. And he wins the gift of the for last week or whatever that gift
was. He won the MyBookie.com score prediction thread, that's for sure.
There you go. I'm going on a limb, man. Listen, again, we're going to play tough. We're going to get after him. We're going to put up some points. I'm going 43-17.
Whoa. So, big defensive game for the Frogs. Yes, shutting down that high-octane SMU offense. Nathan, what do you think? Score prediction.
40-28.
I like y'all's optimism on the offensive side of the ball. Now, wait a minute. Now, Shannon, is part of your 40-plus points defensive scores?
I'm going to always pick six. At least a touchdown. We've got to run one back to the house, but I'm always going to go off a couple picks, getting the ball, offense more opportunities to score. That's why I'm always – when I throw high scores out there, that's what I'm talking about.
All right. I like it. Defense shutting them down, getting the offense back, getting more touches, more plays, more opportunities. Hunter, what do you see?
I'm pretty close to those guys. I'm 42-20. So I think we're going to – I think it'll be – our offense is going to be played better than they did last time, and then I think we're going to shut this defense down.
We should just like write a sign asking for a score prediction.
Yeah.
Oh, I got you.
Deborah just popped on, and he had this face like, I have no idea why this is not working.
This is going to be funny. A whole show. Podcast.
I think I'm just going to name this Deborah Can't Figure Out His Speakers. Oh, he's going to give us a score prediction.
Unmute.
Score.
There you go. No, he muted it again.
Score prediction?
There we go, yeah.
All right. I get to do something. I hate this thing.
He still can't hear us. Some
days. Yeah, just go.
All right. Score prediction. TCU SMU. 49-14.
Whoa. Everyone's picking in the 40s.
I'm sure. Let me just say this. I'm sure y'all talked about the Hall of Fame already.
We have no.
I didn't say nothing about the Hall of Fame. Thursday night's Hall of Fame weekend. This weekend's Hall of Fame. I'm just going to go ahead and say it since I got a chance. Shannon's going in. My good buddy. Let's give Shannon a hand. He's going in this weekend. Tony Jeffries is going in, another football guy. He played with me. I love Tony. One of our friends from hometown, Jill. Well, it used to be Jill Sutton.
Dodd.
Jill Dodd now. She's going in. You know, it's a big weekend of, starts Thursday night with a big Hall of Fame dinner and everything. Then Friday's the golf tournament. Friday night's the deal. Then Saturday, after the first quarter, make sure you're around and watch them introduce all the new members at right then and there and stuff like that. But I just want to jump on and say congratulations to Shannon. Well, I had a chance. I know I can't hear y'all, but congratulations, buddy.
And, Thank you.
I'm going to sign out now. I told you my one score. I got to talk about the Hall of Fame. I'm good.
Thank you.
Talk to y'all later. Peace out.
Oh, my gosh.
Awesome. Oh, man.
That was great. That was fantastic. God. We ought to have Dubber do that every week. That was great.
That was awesome.
Oh, yeah. We were going to bring up the Hall of Fame here before we head off. But I do want to mention, though, Shannon has been sporting a quite lovely hat all podcast long with the this lovely little logo he's got, Shannon Brazil, and the year 2019 for the induction of the Hall of Fame. Looks very stylish, man. I like those.
Thank you. The group, I can't, and they're going to keep them for this, but the same group that does TCU's printing for the jerseys and all the stuff over in Fort Worth, they just came out with this hat, and for the family, really, and friends, and they said, hey, just, you know, put it on Facebook, and if whoever wants one, have them just go to the website and get one, and we'll give them a good price on it. So you'll see a lot of my family actually supporting it on Saturday, but I'm excited about it. I want it to get here, and I want Thursday to get here so I can get on with my business, because the speech situation, I'm not going to get up with 700 people and freaking try to be serious. I don't know what to be. I just want to get out of the way. But I plan
just
on
be just, you, man. Just be you.
Yeah, I plan on just thanking everybody, and we're just gonna have fun with it, man. And I'm honored. It's a big deal to me, and I don't want to ever take it for granted, because I mean, there's a ton of great people that's gotten in and that's still out. And so, man, I'm just honored. I'm blessed and I'm honored.
Well, we're all very happy for you. And just got to say, man, it's about time.
Well, my man Scott Nix, and I'll say this, he would always call me Hall of Famer. Then my wife got inducted, he teased me and nudged me a little bit and said, trust me, you're a Hall of Famer. You're going to be there. Trust me. And he'd always call me that. You know, he'd always call me Hall of Famer. He'd call me by my name. He'd call me Hall of Famer. And I appreciate him for that. And that it meant a lot to me then. It definitely means a lot to me now.
Well, I know he's smiling big this week for you. And let me tell you, he didn't just enjoy teasing you a little bit about the fact that your wife made it into the Hall of Fame and you didn't. he made that into a bit of a hobby. He enjoyed that.
He enjoyed it, man. And so a lot of people. I got that around the yard quite a bit. And I had to have thick skin. Yeah, I'm a locker room guy, so I have it anyway. No more.
Yeah, that's right. No, we all did it out of love. We knew you'd make it there eventually. It's just it's funny when your wife got in. And
every dog has it. It's all good. You know, she got in with her and LT same class, and I was just ecstatic. You know, that weekend to see those two guys, or her and LT, go in together. So that was great at the time. And I've seen a lot of greats go in. It's a joy to be on the board and have a chance to vote for these people and then go and see them. And especially when you see them play and stuff like that. So, man, I can't wait to, see the next class, to be honest with you, because it's a small situation where it's a special moment. You'll never forget it. And, what puts the icing on the cake for me is me and my wife, we're the only couple – married couple in TCU history to be in the Hall of Fame together. So that's what makes it really special for me.
Yeah, it is awesome. Sorry, go ahead, Nathan.
I said, I think y'all might be joined on that one with DK and his wife.
Yeah.
Derek Kendrick and his wife.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they might join you on that one.
The more the merrier.
But I tell you what, we're all very happy for you. And, of course, now your kids are going to say they have two Hall of Fame parents.
Did.
And man, it's going to be awesome. I can't wait for you. We're all really happy for you, Shannon, man. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. And so with that, let me circle back around to my score prediction. After Deborah kind of came in and took over the show. We got to have him do that every week. I swear, that was great. But let's go back to SMU here. I'm not nearly as optimistic about the offensive score production as you guys are in the 40s, but I do think we're going to break in the 30s. I think the score is going to be closer to 37, but I think SMU is going to score about 24. So I think it's going to be a lot closer game than what you guys were predicting. I think it's going to go along the same lines of what we've seen out of SMU games in the past. Where they kind of come out, they score early, they maybe get an extra score or so in the garbage time, make the score look a little bit closer than maybe what it was on the field for three out of the four quarters. But overall, I think, you know, TC's going to end up rolling to a two-score victory on this game. And with that, both TC's going to start Big 12 play undefeated. So I think that'll be a good thing for this team. I think they're going to play well, and I think it's going to be a good matchup on Saturday against SMU. All right. So with that, since we've already talked about the Hall of Fame, we're pretty much done for the night. Before we leave, I do want to talk a little bit about this year's bus trip. Normally every year we take two bus trips for Killer Frog fans. This year we're only going to take one, mainly because the other bus trips were places that typically we wouldn't be able to go too far away for travel. This year, though, we are going to Oklahoma State, so there's just one bus trip this time, so you better get your tickets early because they're going fast. Definitely a big special thanks to Jennifer Nix and Williams True Real Estate. They're sponsoring the bus trip this year, so make sure you go to killerfrogs.com. Go ahead and click on that, and Dubber wants to come in again. He always just wants... And he's muted. He comes in and he's muted.
He can't hear us.
He can't hear us. Oh. Nope. I'm just going to continue on.
Keep going. My
So go on to killerfrogs.com. Up at the top, click on the shop menu, and you can go ahead and register for that bus trip. There are only about 15 seats left this early in the season. It's $80 per ticket. It includes food, drinks, long-sleeve t-shirt, and a lot of fun. And when we mean drinks, you can read between the lines there. I can't advertise any more than that, but you can get an idea as far as what we mean by drinks. Nathan is already enjoying one right now. So make sure, again, killerfrogs.com, click on shop, go to that bus. And again, special thanks to Jennifer Nix and the Williams True Real Estate team for sponsoring this year's bus trip. So with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. I'd like to thank everybody out there who's listening to us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. The podcast can be found pretty much anywhere podcasts are. Well, podcasts aren't sold, but anywhere you can find podcasts these days. And if you got an opportunity, go on to iTunes, and we wouldn't mind if we'd actually love it if you'd give us a 5-star review. It helps the podcast become discoverable and introduces the podcast to new audience that are out there. Big thanks to all the thousands who listened to the podcast last week. Really appreciate that. And of course, you can go to killerfrogs.com to find all of your daily frog news and join us on the forum. It's free. Just go to forum.killerfrogs.com. You can log in and start discussing TCU athletics with the rest of us. Of course, you can find Killer Frogs at all the major social media networks, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. We're not on MySpace, but you can figure out the rest. And with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. It's a time where we all get the frogs up. Let's see if Dubber does it. Does Dubber do it? He got it up.
Oh, there you go.
All right, he got it up. And we get to say,
go Frogs!
Go Frogs! Go Frogs!
He unmuted himself just to say go Frogs. You got to love the determination.
At the very end, I could hear you.